You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. These words of Jesus in today's first reading, which is right at the very beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, the first words of chapter 1, they're meant to redirect the focus of his disciples from future things. They're worried about what's going to happen, when's he going to come back, when he leaves, what are we going to do? You know, they're concerned about these things. So he wants to redirect their attention from those future things to the present mission at hand, from earthly thinking to heavenly thinking. Basically, he's saying, don't worry about when I'll return, when the end of the world will come. That's not important. Be not afraid about what's going to happen, or when I come back, what might happen, what's going to happen when I leave. Don't be sad that I'm going to leave. Just go out and exercise this amazing power that I've given to you. By the way, there's more coming, right? He tells them to remain in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon them, and they're going to receive more power. So basically, live like this, and then you will live life to the full, and it won't matter when the end times come. It won't matter what tomorrow brings, because you're going to be walking with me in full. He gives similar encouragement in today's gospel passage. He says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Pretty clear, right? He's not mincing words here. It's our job, actually. So he's not just sending them, us in this day and age too. It's our job to lead people to salvation, to make sure that no one is condemned. What he's sending us out to do. It's always in and through him. We have to allow him to do it. We can't do it on our own. But that's what he's calling us to do, friends. Not to be merely nice to everybody, you know, to be Mr. Yes. Don't ever have those uncomfortable conversations, difficult topics like Jesus and his difficult teachings. We can't shrink back from this, brothers and sisters, because then we're allowing people to go off towards condemnation because we're not bringing them to the truth. And we might slide off towards condemnation ourselves. So he's calling us to go out and be bold in preaching the good news according to his will and in and through his power. So the stakes are high here, right? We can say they're eternally on high. Eternally high. We're talking about salvation or condemnation. Eternally. So this is a big deal. But fear not. Fear not. You and I have been given the power to get the job done. He's given us everything we need. He's not sending us out, you know, to setting us up for failure. Not at all. He wants to cast aside all of our fears. And we see he talks about these deadly things like picking up snakes or if somebody poisons your drink. He says, don't worry. If you follow me, you don't have anything to worry about. Don't be led by fear. So he wants to cast all that aside so we can completely be open to the power of his love and thereby drive out demons, speak in tongues, heal the sick, and do other marvels in and through him, whatever he's calling us to do, whatever he wills for us. Just trust in him and let him do the work. Otherwise, it's not going to happen, right? We can try all we want, but it's only through him that the work gets done. And that's exactly what the disciples did. We see in the gospel passage the first reading when he finished speaking, then was taken up into heaven, taking a seat at the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. The Lord worked with them. He didn't just send them out and turn away, right? He worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The word of the Lord isn't just words on a paper, right? When the Lord speaks, things happen. The world has changed. And so he's assuring them there's accompanying signs when they're out there preaching the good news. He's working with them. He wants to do the same with us, brothers and sisters. And speaking of us, here we are today because they, those first disciples, trusted in the Lord. Imagine how scary it might have been, right? He was just killed 40 days before speaking these words to them. And there were people out there that were pretty hostile, right? So, but they trusted in him and they allowed him to take them outside of their comfort zones and into the mysterious, marvelous life of the Blessed Trinity. Speaking of which, the focus for the ascension is often on the details surrounding Christ's actual ascent from earth to heaven. He went in a cloud. Where did he go? Which direction? And then there's these two angels. Are they angels or the guys? Who are they? These people in white? Are they Elijah? Are they Moses? Who are these people? There are a lot of focus things that we could see, we can imagine, right? But the most amazing part of this mystery often goes unnoticed or at least underappreciated, in my estimation anyway. And so what am I talking about here? Well, when Christ ascends, he takes his glorified body with him. He is not just spirit that ascends, it's Jesus, fully human, fully divine, all in one, which means that he doesn't just take his divinity, but also his humanity. Human nature is now perfected through his paschal mystery. He's perfected human nature and now rises with him into heaven. So when he is reunited with the Father in heaven, human nature is now part of that unity. That's astonishing. That's flabbergasting if you think about it for a minute. It's unfathomable. Who would have ever thought that was even possible? Well, he makes it possible. Quick theological disclaimer, because I know my words could be misinterpreted. When I see he's reunited with his Father in heaven, in his divinity, he was always there. He never took away his divinity, or the Father didn't cast him down like some of our Protestant brothers and sisters might say. He was in both places at once. But he is reunited with his divinity and his humanity. Now, to be clear, this doesn't mean that we become God, that we're equal with the Father, the Son. No. And also, we can't share in the fullness of this Trinitarian communion until after we die. And by the way, it's not guaranteed either. We need to walk with the Lord. He says himself, if you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. But what this does mean is that Christ has opened up something entirely new, kind of like a direct portal now into the Trinity, which is absolutely amazing. And this is the source of that great power that he mentions to his disciples. It's not coming from in the earth somewhere. It's not coming from outer space. It's coming from the very heart of the Trinity, directly from there. And in its fullest sense, at least as full as we can get here on earth, it comes through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate next week, of course, Pentecost Sunday. Friends, this is really big stuff. I know it's a little bit on the theological end, but it's really, really big stuff. It's so beautiful. St. Paul, he unfolds this mystery even further in today's second reading, which is from chapter 1 of his letter to the Ephesians. And we heard him praying that the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. There's a lot in that one sentence. This spirit of wisdom and revelation is really a spirit of docility that will enable you to see and experience God as he truly is. Not how you want him to be, but how he truly is. If you don't allow God to reveal himself to you, then you'll never truly know who he is, what he's all about. And you're never going to truly know who you are either, because you're not going to know whose you are. You belong to him. I belong to him, right? We're beloved daughters, sons and daughters of the Father. So knowledge here is equivalent to an experience of God's love, of his explosive power and mercy. It's not stuff, intellectual stuff that's packed into our skulls. That's not what knowledge is here. Knowledge is an experience of his goodness. That's what Paul's getting at. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation gives us this beautiful experience so that we know who the Lord is because of what he's done within us and around us. So Paul continues. He's not done. He continues. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. There's a lot there too. We'll just pull some of the details out. So there's three things that he's praying that we're going to know what is the hope that belongs to his call. That's the call that the Lord has for every single one of us, to go and make disciples of all nations, to go and preach the good news to every creature. That's what he's talking about. And why is it, what is he talking about? Hope? It's hope for salvation for every single human being, including us. We hope that the Lord's going to do what he says he's going to do. So he wants our heart, the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened so we know this hope that belongs to the call for every single one of us. what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones. He's not talking about stacks of gold bars in hell or in heaven, or silver or precious metals or anything like that. He's talking about the very riches that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit share for all eternity between themselves. The very riches of the Holy Trinity. He wants us to know what they are so we can seek them more and more, not the things of earth. So, know what is the hope that belongs to his call. Know the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. For us who believe. That's so key. For people that don't believe, they're never going to know the surpassing power of his greatness. Never going to know it. Going to be maybe not necessarily oblivious to it, but they're never going to know it in the sense that we're talking about. This is that same power, friends, that I've been harping on since Easter. This explosive power of the victory that he won over sin and death, that he wants us to live in. This is the same power he worked in Christ, as we heard, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand, at his right hand, far above all creation. That's the power we're talking about. And guess what? This is the same power that he offers you right now. Not tomorrow, not someday, not when you might be as holy as Mother Teresa or John Paul II. Right now, he offers it to you. He wants to go into your life, blow up all that sin and darkness, send it into oblivion, so you can live in his greatness, live in his glory. That's what he wants. It's there for the taking. So let's take it, right? Let's take it. Let's go, as our students love to say. Let's get this job done. Allow the Lord to do it within us. Let's go. This is exactly what you and I were made for. It will be amazing, mind-boggling, dumbfounding. The Lord wants to knock your socks off. So you've heard me say this before. Even in the toughest situations, God says, bring it on. Bring it on. Nothing's bigger than God, right? We talked a little bit about this last weekend. We have these conflicts, these wars. You got the Ukraine situation, keeps dragging on and on. Is it ever going to end? We have the situation in Gaza and Israel. Look at this terrible conflict. We've got the political clown show here in the United States. I'm sure you have things in your own lives that just seem so hard, they're just impossible. God says, come to me, bring it on. I got this. Remember last week I said, hold my beer. God's saying, hold it. Let me take care of this. I got this. If you're living out R.I.M., relationship first, relationship with the Lord, right? Immersed in the love of the Trinity, then your identity flows from that. You know who you are and whose you are. Then he sends you out on mission with his power, with his glory, to get the job done. And so if you're living R.I.M., then nothing can stop you. Nothing. God will carry out his will through you, and he's going to blow your mind in doing so. He wants to do that. He wants to amaze you. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Brothers and sisters, he wants to obliterate your doubts, your fears, your sins. Leave it in the tomb, right? He wants to obliterate that and work his infinite power through you, sending you out into the whole world to proclaim the gospel to every creature. It's a beautiful call. It's an amazing call. Are you ready? Are you ready? Friends, you don't want to miss out on this. The Lord is calling. Are you ready? Let's go.